Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical, while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it.
Hey, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. I'm Jay, and with me is the lovely V. V, how are you doing this week?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I am doing well.
Yeah? Do you have a good week?
Not too bad. Lots of work, but, you know, made it through. Jury duty, too. Exciting week.
Now you're done with that, so.
Still two more weeks.
I thought once you got dismissed.
Oh, no. I was dismissed from that trial.
Well, that's what I mean. I thought once they chose you and then you were dismissed.
Oh, no. In our area, you have to cover for like a month and a half and you can be on multiple trials. I made it to the jury box for a felony murder trial and I got eliminated in the second round of both. I guess sides have X number of, they can kick people out based on the questionnaires. I made sure I was in there going. Can you tell us what you do for a living?
I fight crime. I'm Batman.
No way right. Did I want to be a part of a felony murder trial. I did not want to hear the evidence.
I'm on my vigilante shit. Right.
They look guilty.
Oh my gosh. I was only invited to jury duty once. In Phoenix, and I didn't have to go after all because it was right when the Jodi Arias trial was going on, if you're familiar with that, and all the journalist trucks and news vans and all the things. It was like right when the verdict was going to be announced and nobody could get through. They had all the streets blocked off and stuff, and so they canceled my jury duty and they never brought me back around. And so yay me, knock on wood, I don't want it. I don't want to jinx myself, which
I mean,
we're going to talk
that
about
bad.
That.
Some of the, like, in our system, you can get civil and a criminal. Mm-hmm. Civil's going to be fun or not fun. I mean, just, it's neat to witness the process.
Yeah.
I did go through a rape trial. That was not fun to listen to all that.
Right. I am certain I would get released right away because I'm very opinionated and I've been through a lot of stuff. If you know what I'm saying?
They ask, have you had this crime happen to that crime?
Yeah. Right. And I could be like, yes, I have. And they'd be like, okay, she's out. I don't think I'd make it very far on any of them. And I try to, well, not so much anymore, but at that time, if they would have been like, have you ever heard of this case? I'd be like, yes, I have. And I think he did it. So yeah, I used to be really up on that stuff. And I don't think I would make it very far, but you know, I don't want to find out. I'd rather just live my life.
I've been hoping to get a civil trial so I can, is it that burden of proof is different and it's usually one person versus another or a company and that'd be interesting.
On one hand, I think it'd be really boring, but you
it
might,
can be.
But what am I talking about? Because one of my favorite things to do on TikTok is to fall into like messy talk or neighbor dispute talk or like, what's it called? Like the landlines, the property line disputes. And I'm like, oh, they're totally over 3 inches. Get a survey, you know, so I
do. And that's huge. That is huge.
It's huge. Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't realize how huge it was.
Oof.
And when I first bought this house, like the first week I was there, my neighbor Ross came out and he goes, we should probably talk about the fence. And I was like, the fence? And he goes, well, I had an agreement with the previous owners, two owners ago, that we both decided to build this fence and we split the cost of it and we put it like smack in the middle of the property line. So it's, I maintain my side, they maintain theirs, but it's both of our fence and it's right on the property line. Is that going to be an issue? And I was like, not with me. At first I was like, was that a conversation that needed to be had? I mean, I guess it's nice to know, but like, I don't care. And then I started watching all these property line TikToks and I'm like, oh my gosh. People go to war over this stuff. I'm too easygoing for that. Like, I
just
don't care.
Knock it down. I don't give a shit.
as long as you don't care and I don't care and like you're being nice to me, I don't care. If you're like, I really need 6 extra inches for my kid's swing set.
Who needs 6 extra inches? That's bullshit.
You know, for my kid's swing set to fit, can I move the fence and take some of yours? I'd be like, sure. Like, it just doesn't matter to me that much. But some people, they're like, you are a quarter inch over.
You have control issues.
Yeah. What's mine is my greed, too. Greed and control. So, anyways, I digress. Welcome to the Salty Seekers. Now that we're done just shooting the shift, we this week are going to be talking about all things witchy 101. We're going to be just covering the basics. This is by no means going to be anything in depth or like major spell work or anything like that. I just wanted to make a reference for people who are like, you know, I've heard that term on social media, but I have no idea what it means. Or I've seen this in memes, but I don't know what that is. Or what's the significance of that thing? So I figured that we would just take a little time to just cover like the basics of herbs and spells or just witchy things. Sound
good? This is going to be awesome. I'm going to learn so much because my extent of knowledge is just, you know, the coursework I've watched with Harry Potter.
So if you've watched these episodes, you already know this, but I would by no means consider myself a very learned scholarly witch. I'm a baby witch by all means. And the thing is that, as most of you do, I always had, because of the church, I had a real aversion to that word, witch or witchcraft. I still can feel myself clench a little bit when it's said or when I say it, because I'm so indoctrinated with that's a bad thing. But it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing unless you make it a bad thing. Just like in all areas of life, you can stay where the light is, or you can go where it's dark. You know, you can be a good, loving person, or you could be a murderer. You could be a witch who practices in all things love and light. You can be a dark witch and be practicing some negative stuff. So that's up to you. But just by rights, it is not a bad thing. Let's start off with some notes. I took the time to write some things out in a lot of these areas. And so a lot of the time I might read what I wrote because it's way more eloquent than when it's just like coming straight out of here. I'm going to start with what is witchcraft. Now, when I say what is witchcraft, what do you think, Jay? What comes to your mind?
Someone practicing, whether it be some sort of conjuring spell where they're living that kind of lifestyle. It's not necessarily their lifestyle. It could also be like their religion. In my own experience, don't see it as a negative. It's just there was what they practice. It's what they believe. And right. To your point, it can be good. It can be bad. It can be indifferent. But it's right. What they're doing.
And, you know, to add on to what I was saying earlier, and I've covered this before, as much of a resistance as I had to that word when people would say, well, how long have you been a witch? And I'd be like, oh, I'm not. No, I'm not a witch. And then finally, I had to realize that, like, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. You know, I've been doing so many of these things. Like, I have salt bowls sitting around my house to soak up negative energy. I put salt across my front door. I smudge. I do these things that would make you a witch. But yet I'm like, no, I'm not. And so I finally just had to embrace the fact that, yeah, I probably am. And I need to work on my shadow that thinks that that has a negative connotation. Because that's really just leftovers from the church. So let's start with what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is a practice, not a religion. Witchcraft is something that you do. It's a practice, like you have a meditation practice. You might go to the gym and have a workout practice. It is a practice of something you do. Wicca, a lot of people use those terms interchangeably. Wicca is a religion. It's an actual religion. And as one of their practices, as part of their religion, they'll use some witchcraft. But Wicca is an actual religion. And you do not have to be a Wiccan to be a witch. But if you're a Wiccan, you will probably be using witchcraft as part of your practice, if that makes sense. And you probably already use witchcraft, whether you're aware of it or not, even if you think you don't. If you've ever thrown salt over your left shoulder to ward off evil or bad luck, you spill some salt, you pick some up, you toss it over your shoulder. You might be a witch if. If you've ever knocked on wood so that you don't jinx yourself, or if you've used smoke to smudge your space or your energy. If you're a nurse, I am
certain. You're a witch?
Certain.
I got it.
If you... Shut your face, Jay. If you're a nurse, you have certainly cast some spells. Nurses are one of the most superstitious lot of people that exist on this planet. They may tie a knot in the corner of the bed sheets to prevent a patient from dying that shift. You never, ever, 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 ever say the Q word when you're at work, the quiet word, ever. If you say the Q word in the presence of a nurse that's working, the room will fall silent and everyone will look at you like, oh, you about to die. Your butt. Because you jinx yourself and then all hell's going to break loose. You're going to have the busiest shift ever. If things are super quiet, they may just go and prepare a room for an admission or a trauma. They might park a crash cart outside of that room to be ready for disaster, because nature likes to catch you unawares. And if you think everything's nice and quiet and peaceful and you're going to put your feet up, they're going to send you like 50 disasters. So head them off at the pass and then they'll leave you alone. Same goes for a patient that's already not doing well. If you have a patient and they're just circling the drain all shift, go open that crash cart, park it outside of their room, and get ready for disaster. And then they're more likely to be okay for the rest of the shift. They can tell you when it's a full moon by the way the patients are acting. And they will be very aware of which rooms on their floor are considered unlucky. Or if a patient's going to go, they're like, oh, I got room 8 tonight. You know, it's going to be a mess. Because patients in room 8 tend to do bad, or whatever room it is on their floor. Before we had Pyxis machines, which is like the automatic dispenser medication things for the pharmacy, and it was just a regular medication cart where you could just open drawers and take what you wanted, I had a lot of older nurses that would carry a syringe of atropine that's used in codes in their pocket to just prevent any spirit that felt like having an arrhythmia or coding that night, like, I am locked and loaded, don't fuck with me kind of thing. Like, it would ward off that juju. So anyways, I could keep going on this because nurses have a lot of them. Like, put some coins under the sheet at the start of your shift to buy you more time, meaning nobody's going to die that night, that kind of thing. So those are all spells. If you've ever said a prayer, that is a spell. We'll get more into that in a little bit. So the point is that if you've ever had a good luck charm or a pair of lucky socks, or you've done any of these kind of things, if you've ever done any kind of little ritual in order to like help you out or prevent yourself from being jinxed, then you've done spell work. What it does is you've sent out your petition for what you're wanting, and you have asked the divine powers that be to partner with you to co-create this thing that you're wanting, this petition you're sending out. Please help this to be. And that is a spell. That is all a spell is. What's important to know about witchcraft also is what it is not. It is not inherently evil. It is something, as we just spoke about, where people have the option to do evil things and then they will reap that karma because that's a universal law. But not all of it is dark. As a whole, I would say most of it's not dark. So what is the definition of witchcraft? I found on the website Spells 8, which I like to follow a lot, they had a good definition, so I borrowed theirs. And I paraphrased some of it because it was long. They define witchcraft as, at its core, distilled to its most simplest definition, witchcraft is a spirituality of connection. Spirituality in general is about a connection. But when linked specifically to witchcraft, the very nature of a witch's mode of interacting and existing is to connect to both worlds of the seen and the unseen. It's about our growing capacity to sense and read the energy waves of a space, use botanicals and land entities that have passed or have always lived in the beyond, It's about the connection we refine over time with the rhythms of natural life, the dynamic between souls, the circuits of collective unconscious wisdom passed along the slipstreams of time. So you might work with your ancestors. You might work with Jesus. You might work with the earth. You work with all of that stuff. Witches work with nature and with the natural elements of heaven and earth. The moon, the earth, the plants, the herbs. They're grateful for what God has created, and they know that everything created has an energy and a power to it. It has its own imbued rights and properties that were given by the Creator. They work with those elements to energetically affect outcomes. And an easy example of this would be using salt to cleanse the energy of a space. So the second thing I want to say before we move on is, what is a spell? A spell is any intentional effort to send your will into the ether to create a desired change. It's manifestation. It's prayer. It's petition to God and all of the creative life forces in the universe to co-create this thing that you're asking for with you. And that's really all it is. Does that make sense?
A lot of this, is there any real difference, like semantics, shaman, witch?
Right. No.
Traditional, like, spirituality of many different indigenous people from around the world.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder. It's like, so we started coining this term witch or witchcraft. Is that just, was that a negative word that the religious folks were throwing out to, you're not like us, so we're going to call you this?
It was a negative word used for women they couldn't control. Hmm. It was the patriarchy.
Oh, I just call those nurses. Can't control them.
Be quiet and get in your bed.
See?
Yeah, no, there's no difference. The only thing is that when it was pertaining, they labeled particularly women as witches, and you do not have to just be a woman to be a witch. And male witches are not necessarily known as wizards. They're also witches. But historically speaking, the church grabbed onto this word witch, labeled it to women they didn't understand or didn't control. Women who are like, oh, if I use dandelions and some tea, that can help issues of the liver. And they're like, witch, you know, things that they didn't understand. They labeled as witchcraft. Those were primarily women, or for women who were a little mouthy or opinionated or trying to affect change. It was a way of controlling, because then they were justified to burn them or to stone them or whatever. So yeah, primarily it's only set out as a difference because of the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. But as I said, there's no difference between this and a prayer, a Christian who's saying a prayer. They will be supremely offended by that statement, but be offended all you want. It is what it is. I mean, the definition of a spell is asking the divine creator force in the universe to help you get this thing you're asking for. What?
Yeah, I need a spell to help summon big booty Latinas.
Anyways. So, first of all, there are several different kinds of witches. There's several different kinds, depending on what you want to do. And you may not know what kind you are. You're just kind of everything. That's kind of me. You know, I don't have a box I fit into. Like my friend Kathy would be more of a kitchen witch, which means that she works primarily with foods and like, let me make this thing that will heal you. Let me make you this tea that has lavender to calm you. Let me bless my family with this bread I'm making to show love and to help with whatever. You know, that's primarily known as a kitchen witch. I'm more of a garden or a green witch, which means I like to work a lot with nature and with herbs and with flowers and things like that. And you may have other kinds of witches, and you can Google all of these if you're interested in the different types. I didn't write them all down. You can go Google that kind of thing and see what information you could find, because there's a ton of it out there. But there are some that are like super heavy with ritual, and like you do this step before this, and it's all about like the show. It's all about the 50-step ritual to get what you want. Whereas I'm more like, as I mentioned earlier, let me sprinkle this salt across my threshold. So a lot of the things that witches, all witches work with are herbs. And that is because each herb has a specific property or purpose assigned to it by nature or by humanity, but it is a symbol of that thing you're wanting. And so in order to help potentiate the spell or potentiate this thing you're asking for, you can use certain herbs to help with that. For example, I'll name some of the most common ones. Most of them you probably already have in your kitchen, and there's nothing special you have to go find. The second thing is that some of these have like similar meanings. So you don't necessarily have to go out and buy something special and spend your money. If you don't have this, use that. If you have all of the things for the spell except for that thing, do the spell anyways. So let me go over just some of the most common ones. And I'm going to make a cheat sheet that has all of them. And it's by no means all of them. I mean, the earth is a big place. But the ones that are most common that I use the most anyways, I'll make a cheat sheet with all of that. And I will have the link available in the description. So first of all, the ones you've probably heard of are rosemary. If you've ever seen the movie Practical Magic, she's like, every home should have rosemary planted by their gate for protection. So rosemary is known for protection, healing, releasing negative self-beliefs, cleansing, love, purification, etc. I have rosemary planted by my front door, and I put it in almost all of my spells because it's good for protection and for healing and cleansing. Another one is basil, or basil, depending on where you are in the world. Basil is good for money and prosperity and sensuality and attraction and healing. Mint, like mint leaves, is good for luck and good fortune and bringing fresh energy into a space and new starts. It helps with studying and writing, freshening up your mind type of thing. Nutmeg is really good for luck and financial success. So stir some of that into your coffee every morning, just a little sprinkle. And one of the other things you need to know about spells is if you're trying to draw something toward you, you stir clockwise. If you're trying to repel something away from you, you stir counterclockwise. So just sprinkle a dash of nutmeg and maybe a dash of cinnamon in your coffee, stir clockwise and set the intention. May some prosperity, wealth, and luck find me today. So it is. Stir your coffee and drink it. And that's as simple as it gets. Let's see here. Cloves. There are some herbs or ingredients that have a little bit more of a spice or a kick to them. And those are good for protection when you're wanting to push away negativity, or you want to protect your home. So keep me safe, keep any negative intentions away from here. And you put some spicy stuff in there. So if they come near you, you know, they're gonna get some discomfort. So clove is good for that. Not only is it a little spicy, but if you step on them, it'd be like stepping on a Lego, you know? I mean, they're painful to touch. So cloves are good for protection and peace and dominion over your own space. It stops gossip. Bay leaves. Bay leaves are probably one you've seen a lot. And bay leaves are wonderful for wishing and manifesting and drawing things to you. They are the thing that helps you get your wish. So write your little wish, whatever it is, on the bay leaf with a marker or something, and then light it on fire. But they spark up and burn quick. So use tweezers or dump it in a little pot and light that on fire, because it'll go burn super fast. Cinnamon. I talk about cinnamon a lot. I use a lot of cinnamon. Cinnamon is good for luck, abundance, and protection. So that's always part of my monthly front door reset. You know, I go outside, I put cinnamon in my palm. Wherever the cinnamon blows, wealth and abundance flow. And you do that 3 times. And then you go wash the cinnamon into your hands. So anyways, I'm going to put all of these, because I mean, there's so many. There's orange that brings happiness and brightness and luck and joy and so many of them. I'm going to make that cheat sheet and I'm going to have it available if you want to hear about all of them. Any questions? Any thoughts?
Growing most of these at different times, just, you know, yeah. Experimenting with plants.
Yeah. So some of the things that you might use or see people using when they're doing spell work and you're like, what are they doing that for? Let's talk about candles. First of all, candles are a big deal. Yeah. Candles are a big deal because they bring the element of fire. Fire alchemizes. It turns one thing into another. It burns and it releases through the smoke to the universe. It is done. Help me with this thing. It sends it out. And so candles are a very powerful thing. These days, color magic is also a big thing. And so you'll see them using specific colors to accomplish certain things. But before we get into that, let me just say, historically speaking, your ancestors in the 1500s did not have access to like pink and purple candles. So, you know, if you don't have them, that's okay. Use what you have. It is truly, 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 as with everything, about the intention you put behind it. The same with the herbs. Make sure you're telling those herbs when you use them what they need to do. What do you want from them? You know, like I said, when I stir it into my coffee, you know, may this bring me XYZ. Or, you know, you're putting rosemary into a spell work or a protection jar or something. May this rosemary help to keep my home safe. Tell the thing what you want it to do. Wake it up and tell it. Assign your intention. Same with the candles and the colors. I'll go over what the different colors mean, but if you don't have those colors, white is always the best if you don't have the other ones, but truly it's about the intention. So white candles, they are the most basic like go-to candle. They can represent the moon. It can represent healing and truth and light and cleansing and purification and crown chakra things. Black. Those are also for protection, but more from the banishing standpoint. Like white would be cleanse and protect the space, call in the good protection energy. Black would be more like banish anything bad, keep it away, get out type of thing. So black is about protection and banishing, removing negativity, grounding energy. Pink, kind of self-explanatory. It's more of the like divine feminine. It can be for love, self-love, relationships, calling in love, reconciliation, anything where you're wanting to like open up that heart space and like bring in love. Red, fiery passion, like ooh la la. It can represent the masculine, but it can also represent all things sex and courage and power and victory and willpower and strength and root chakra things. And green, it's about success and money and good luck and abundance, fertility, heart chakra. Blue is about truth and communication and wisdom and protection and justice and healing and loyalty and throat chakra things. Gray is about neutrality and balance. It neutralizes negative energies. It resolves conflicts, promotes inner balance, facilitates compromises, helps you make complex decisions, helps you with introspection, calming mental noises. It harmonizes energy. So it's just kind of like a neutral reset button. Purple, it helps you with your psychic gifts and with manifestation, like third eye type stuff. Meditation, spirituality, astral travel, that kind of thing. Orange candles can represent the sun, change of seasons. It can represent bringing in like joy and positivity and happiness. If you're doing some kind of spell work where you're wanting quick results, quick actions, orange can help with that. It's about joy and play and confidence and stimulation and creativity and sacral chakra things. Yellow is about charm. So some glamour magic, like some beauty spells, can deal with yellow. It's about persuasion and intellect and confidence and bringing in new ideas. Like if you're just, maybe you're a writer and you have writer's block or something, you could light a blue candle for communication, but you could light a yellow candle to help with those new ideas to get them flowing. And obviously it's about solar plexus things. So if you wanted to do a spell, then you would choose a candle that would represent that purpose, the color of the candle, if you have one. And then you would choose the herbs that also have that type of meaning that would facilitate that. And you put them together. What are your thoughts so far, Jay?
I mean, neat. I've seen a lot of these where you can, like, if you go into the metaphysical stores and they'll sell lots of them. So I was thinking as you were going through that, I've seen specific shaped ones, and I was assuming some sort of fertility thing going on. You could probably figure out what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, good, that shape. Cool. I didn't denote the colors, but yeah. So do the shape candles work at all?
I've never dealt with one, but I mean, they can. It's really about the intention. So yeah, I mean, it could either mean like, fuck this guy, like, or it can mean like, I need some dick. I mean,
it was a heart-shaped candle. Jesus, lady.
Was it? Was that one? Oh, okay. I was like, I've seen them that look like that. I thought that's what you were talking about.
They had those. They had all
It could be fertility. It could be
fuck
whatever.
That guy.
It could be fuck that guy. It could be I need that guy. It could be fertility issues. Please help. I mean, it could be whatever intention you assign it to. But I'm certain that if the color can help boost it, then like the shape probably could too, right?
Now they sell them in just the loose candles, and they also sell them like in the jar containers. I've looked at both. Does that have any impact or bearing on its, I guess, on it at all?
So the way that I work with jars, two different ways. Jars can either be to contain something that you want to banish, or it can be to protect from what's outside. So I don't know about in context to what you're specifically saying, but let me give you a few examples. This wasn't my idea. I saw this on TikTok recently, and I've not done it yet because I'm not sure how I feel about it. But let's just air it out here, and let me get your thoughts. So before we go any further, let me give you the definition of the word baneful. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. People talk about baneful magic. And baneful means wishing harm, right? I'm not a person who does baneful magic because I don't want to wish harm on anybody, really. So I don't want that coming back on me. So baneful magic is like when you send hexes, you send curses, you do dark magic. That's baneful magic, right? I don't do any of that. However, when I was looking up ways to make wards for my house, a ward is like a layer of protection on your home, such as putting salt across the threshold. That's one type of a ward. Sigils that we created that says keep this home safe. That's another example of a ward. So I was looking up different kinds of wards. And this one lady was talking about baneful wards. And she's like, I don't do baneful magic and send out harm. But I think if you come to mess with my home and my family, I'm going to set some booby traps for you. It's no different than protecting your home or setting a mouse trap for them to step on if they come in your space. Like, you didn't send it to them, but they came and got it. So I'm not sure how I feel about that yet. I'm still digesting, and I'm going to get your thoughts on that in a minute. But she had said one of the things she likes to do, she takes a smaller jar and she puts all the good things she wants to protect and all the good things she wants. She puts the names of her and her children and her address and her petition to, you know, please keep my home safe, keep it safe from fire and destruction and intruders, like all the things. Puts it in the jar, screws the lid on tight, seals it really tightly with, she'll burn a candle for protection with the herbs and stuff. And then as the candle's melting, she'll drip that candle all over the lid to seal it really good so that nothing can get in. And then she takes a great big jar, like a big pickle jar or something, and she puts the small jar inside the big jar. And then in the big jar, she fills it with all the nastiness you could imagine. She'll put razor blades and rusty nails. She'll pee in it. She'll put like stuff out of her cat's litter box in there. Like, she's like, they're going to get nastiness if they come mess with me in my home. I mean, and you don't have to do all that. This is what she was doing. But basically she was saying, and she puts like hot chili peppers and jalapeno, and she's putting all the things that would be yucky and uncomfortable to get through energetically in the big jar so that her family is nestled safe and sound in the middle, but anybody who tries to get to her family has to go through that minefield of grossness and pain to get to them. they'll have consequences, if that makes sense. The smaller jar is used as container for protection, if you will, inside of that. Does that make sense? What's your thought on baneful words? Because I'm like, does that still send out? Like, I'm wishing that anybody who messes with me gets hurt. Is that a bad thing? I don't know.
It's still sending out, if somebody steps on that booby trap, they're getting that negativity. So first thing is, I am a fan of being trapped by boobies. But in this particular instance, it's a non-witchcraft, but I guess in the similar vein, home defense. I mean, is it worth hurting someone else? I mean, even though you may be defending yourself or your loved ones, it's still energetically, you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than going on a walk through the woods and making sure you take your pepper spray. I'm not wishing harm on anyone, but if you come to harm me, I'm going to defend myself and you're going to have consequences. To me, I can see that point of view and I'm like, I'm kind of okay with that. But then on the other hand, it's like, I don't know. But I tend to be too nice for my own good and let people get away with too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I trust my opinion here. Like, well, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
You know what? Teach their own. And that's, if you're going to do that, then I suppose you have to be ready for the energetic consequences. So you sent out a defense and it hurt others. They're still, you know, you put that out there.
Yeah. So do your own soul searching and decide what you're comfortable with. On some level, I'm comfortable with that because I'm like, I don't start it, but I'll finish it.
And maybe your jar won't be that nasty. Maybe not razor blades or whatever. You know, spices, peppers. It keeps certain bland ass people away from you. They'll be like,
ugh. Right. And some people are like, I saw another lady talking about the same type of thing. And she's like, part of my wards, she's like, I'm not going to wish death on you, but like, I'm going to wish some STDs. Oof. I'm going to wish a broken hip. I'm going to, you know, let whoever violates this ward and tries to cause harm to my family break a leg.
You know what? Literally. I'll go that far. I'll build my ward and I'll just put X-lax around it.
It's like, right.
I cast diarrhea.
I don't know that I would put anything like truly harmful, but I'll give you some discomfort. You're going to think twice. I might do that. The other thing for the jar is just to contain what you don't want. Like if, man, someone just won't leave you alone. You have a stalker or you have a family member, you have an ex that are just like the bane of your existence. Leave me alone. You can put them in a jar, be like, you are never to bother me again. Like speak whatever petition you have into there. Seal that jar really good. Put them in the freezer. Freeze them out. Toss them into the lake, you know, like yeet right out there. And they're not coming back to bother you type of thing. So it's to contain what you don't want as well. Get creative with it. I mean, really, you could do whatever you want. If you're making something for yourself, like a jar, like protect me, or a prosperity jar where you put in like coins and some green stuff and some herbs that call in prosperity, you know, lick your finger and like touch in there, get your DNA in there, get your breath in there, speak your petition into it so that your breath and your DNA, it makes it more personal and the energetic frequency, the energetic vibe of it aligns to you so much more personally, and it potentiates that spell so that it's designed just for you.
Never tried any of this. Sounds neat though.
Yeah, I mean, it's powerful. The thing is that it's no more powerful than just yourself, really. Like, you have the power to set intentions. We have this power in us to call on the divine and to co-create our existence. But the energetic properties of these things can help potentiate it, make it more powerful.
I think she's able to do most of this because of her pickle addiction, and she probably has lots of spare jars to play with.
Anybody who does spell work, you're going to find all kinds of jars. If we walked upstairs on my counter right now,
Vlasic.
I have like two or three jars and several bowls sitting there cleansed and ready to make some protection bowls and some wards. Let's talk a little bit about protecting yourself. You know, if you're doing light and fluffy magic, I wouldn't say that the need for protection is too high. If I'm out there like cleansing my door with some rosemary water and sprinkling salt, I wouldn't say that the forces of darkness are clawing at my neck. But, you know, if you're doing any kind of like protection work, if you're doing any kind of spell work, particularly if you're a person who chooses to do anything baneful or darker, protection is a must, or, you know, you can just invite some consequences to yourself. You can invite some darkness to yourself. What were you going to say?
If you're out there doing negative things, then you're inviting it back. So I'm like, I don't know what you expected.
Yeah. So anyways, there's a couple of things classically that you can do, that you should do anytime you're doing any kind of spell work, that not only help call in the creative and protective forces of the universe, but that will help protect you. You've probably seen in movies and cartoons and different things, like they always classically like draw a line on the floor, a circle, draw a circle and stand inside the circle. That is a thing. It's called casting a circle. Casting a circle of protection is a very simple way to create a safe space. You can do it before casting a spell, before going into meditation, or whenever you feel the need for an extra bit of protection. This isn't specifically for spell work. If you have nightmares a lot at night, cast a circle around your bed. You can do it so many different ways. You can draw a circle of salt. You can draw a circle of chalk. You can use your finger and just draw a circle. You can do it in your mind and envision your space and envision like a big circle going around your space. It's about setting the intention that this is a safe and sacred space of high vibrating energy to keep you safe. That's all it is. But that is a big, powerful, important way to remember. The other thing that is suggested when you're doing spell work is called calling in. I've heard it called calling in the corners and calling in the quarters. So I'm not sure which is the right way, because I've heard plenty of both. Tomato, tomato, the intention is the same. So when you call in the corners, I'm just going to use corners because it's easier than constantly going back and forth. When you call in the corners, which can work with casting a circle, at the beginning of a ritual or a meditation or a spell, it creates a sacred space protected by invoking the elemental energies associated with the four cardinal directions of the earth. You do this to establish a foundation of balance and protection for your spiritual work by acknowledging the powers of Mother Earth through earth, air, fire, and water to bless and support the working you're doing, whether that's meditation or a spell or whatever. So when you call the corners would be at, as I said, the start of a ritual. The practice typically occurs as the first step in casting a spell or performing a ritual, or whether you just want to open a sacred space before you start any ceremony, before you light your candle. And why you do this, as we said, is to establish a sacred space. It helps build a protected and balanced temple or ritual space by energetically erecting this space and using the fundamental energies of the four elements. One of the other reasons is to facilitate balance. The four directions and elements inherently represent balance, and calling upon them helps to bring that equilibrium to your ritual and to your space during that time, so that whatever work is being done within it helps bring balance. So for earth, you want to have like a little small bowl or a shot glass or something for each of these things. So for earth, you could use salt, dirt, a rock, whatever. Water, just a small thing of water. Fire, you can have a white candle or some kind of incense or something. And then for air, you can either use just an empty glass and designate that that represents air, or you can have incense burning for that too. The smoke is what would represent the air. So in order to do this, so you would cast your circle. If you're doing a physical circle, you could then set the shot glasses at like north, south, east, west on that, and then put your candle and stuff in the middle of it. So what you say is, towards the east, which is what represents air, guardians of the watchtower of the east, I summon, stir, and call you up to protect me and my right. Breathe into me the spirit of pure joy and life. And for the south, which represents fire, guardians of the watchtower of the south, I do summon, stir, and call you up to protect in my right, kindle within me the flame of spiritual awakening. For the west would be water, and you say the same thing, except you say, of the west, I summon and stir you to protect me in my right, water my deepest roots that I may find peace of mind. And then the last one would be to the north, which represents earth. Guardians of the north, I summon and stir you call you up to protect me in my right. Nourish me so that all of my hopes may grow to fruition. Another really simple example of a prayer you could say, or a petition you could say, would be, spirits of earth, I call to thee, ground my work and make it be. Element of air, come to me, lift my words and hear my plea. Spirit of fire, join me here, charge my words and burn my fear. Element of water, cleanse me now, carry me through and hear my vow. And that is how you call the corners. And then when you're done with all of your workings, you can say something simple like, this session is complete. Thank you for your help. And just be done. Just end it. So do you have any questions about that or anything to add to that or any of these things?
Sounds neat. Kind of want to try it. But I guess for some people, you know, a lot of us, we live with anxiety, right? And so so many of these will be like, do I need to do this every time? Am I in danger? What do I do? Yeah. So is that the case?
No, but as we've discussed in other episodes, if you think you need it, you need it. It's about intention. So if you're a nervous Nelly that is just certain that if you forget this one time, you are for sure cursed. And like, there's going to be poltergeists in your house. Well, then girl, for your peace of mind, and so that you don't manifest any craziness, you should do it. But if you're someone that's like, you know, my intention has been clearly put out there that I want protected and my guides have my back, it's good to call in that assistance. But if I forget once, I'm not doomed for all eternity. It's okay.
Okay.
Now I think that I'm going to go into some of the definitions of some certain things, like words you may have heard, or like, I'm not sure what that means. So let's get into some of that. Just a reminder that these things aren't required. As we've already discussed many times, you can do these things with intention if that's all you have. If you're on a deserted island after a plane crash and you don't have access to this stuff, like, you can still pray, you can still send your intention, you can still work with the powers that be. You can use what you have. These aren't required. Also, some people live in environments or with people who would not be okay, and they would give you a lot of grief, or it can even bring you physical harm. Satanic panic is real, and they associate anything witchcraft with like Satan and the devil, you know, and they will, I mean, they've burned witches alive. Do you know what I mean? So like,
that's our accent, Yankee. Don't do that.
Just keep that in mind. Know your environment, know the people that you're around. And if, you know, I've seen on TikTok and other places, some people that are like, I'm not in a position where I can have an altar. And so they have like an old Altoids box, or a box that like breath mints came in, and inside they have like a tiny little crystal, and they'll have like they'll write on a little tiny piece of paper what their petition is and fold it and stick it in there. And they have a little tea light candle that they'll light and let burn for an hour, and then they blow it all out, stick it in the tin and put it in the bottom of their drawer or something. You know, you can get creative with this stuff. So let me cover that real quick before I forget, because I forgot to write that down anywhere. I just mentioned folding the paper. Earlier we talked about when you want to draw something to you, you stir clockwise. Away from you is counterclockwise, right? Same with folding. Whenever you're folding or doing something, you want to try to do it in threes, because three is like a complete number. So if you write something on a piece of paper and you go to fold it, if it's something you're wanting to call to you, fold it three times towards you. If it's something you're wanting to banish or push away, fold it three times away from you. Okay?
Three.
Three.
And that's complete.
Yeah.
Feels kind of odd.
Okay. So, altar. Lord have mercy, I can't talk. All an altar is a designated space where you plan to do your workings. Like, this is the spot I burn my candles. This is the spot I keep my herbs that I use most often. This is where I have my crystals piled. You know, this is my spot. Mine happens to be up in my office. I have like a little shelf space. It used to be my old TV stand. I have it sitting there, and I have some crystals. I burn my incense there. If I do any kind of a spell working or anything, I do it there. Simply because these candles can take a few hours to burn, so I usually do it while I'm working, and my desk is right there, so I just have them burning while I'm working, that kind of thing. And then I have some shelves on the wall where I have all of my jars of herbs and different things. And I have drawers underneath where I can keep all my supplies and candles and things like that. So an altar is really just anywhere you have space to do your work. Some people may come super fancy because witches tend to work with the cycle of the year and with the seasons. So like days like the equinoxes and things are very good days to do spells because of the energy that comes with them and things like that. So they may decorate their altar with flowers and different things to represent what season they're in. They just make it really fancy. I'm too lazy to do that, frankly. I won't keep up with it. The flowers would be dead on there. Like, I won't keep up with it. It's a great idea, but I'm not going to do that. So mine's more basic, but you can make it as simple and in a little breath mint can or like as fancy as you want. This is your practice. It's your ritual. Get as creative or as basic and perfunctory as you want to be. A besom. Have you ever heard of a besom?
Besame mucho?
Besame mucho.
Sidetracked.
A besom is an old-fashioned witchy term for a broom. And so you may see little tiny besoms. It's really a symbol at this point in time. Little tiny besoms, or you may see a full-size broom. Some people use them to do before spell work, like cleansing your home at the first of the month. They'll take it to symbolically like sweep out dirty energy from their home, out the front door, or something like that. You can also have little ones that people may hang above their front door because it's symbolic that it will help sweep out negative energy and protect it from coming in. I have one back there. It used to hang over my front door.
It's in the garage.
I don't ride it in public anymore. Just kidding. It used to hang over my front door, but since my daughters have gone back to the church, it's not that I let them affect my practice so much. It's that I have zero interest in hearing their feedback about my beliefs. I'm not interested in their preaching at me or trying to proselytize me or trying to guilt or shame me. So it's easier to take it down and move in silence and not let them know what I'm doing so that I don't hear them talk about it, if that makes sense. So I took mine down and it's back here in the corner. So that's what a besom is. An amulet or a talisman. Do you know what that is?
I've heard those terms before.
Yeah. So basically an amulet or a talisman is any little tchotchke or a necklace or something that you've enchanted to
lucky
do a
charm.
Certain purpose. Yes, a lucky charm. Like you may enchant your necklace to protect you when you wear it or, you know, whatever. So that is what that is. Anything that's been ascribed with a certain power, such as a necklace that you enchant for a wish of protective energy, or the evil eye symbol or the hamsa that's been imbued with that intention of warding off the evil eye, those are all amulets and talismans.
My favorite is when I see the Christians around here with some of those because they thought they'd look good. I'm like, you know, that doesn't mesh with you guys, right?
Right. So a book of shadows. The book of shadows, a lot of people mistakenly use a book of shadows and a grimoire interchangeably. And let me clear this up. A book of shadows is your journal where you keep track of the things that you've tried or are trying and your thoughts about them. It's really a journal of your spells and workings. The grimoire is like the final copy. It's, yes, I've tried this. It worked great. It made it to the final copy. We're keeping this one. So then you put it officially in your grimoire. Your grimoire is like your book of spells. And it doesn't contain any anecdotes. It doesn't contain personal thoughts. It's just, this is the recipe. This is the spell. So like, this is my book of shadows. It's newer. I haven't finished filling it out yet. But like each page is a different spell or something that I'm keeping track of that I can reference at a different time. Like here's a recipe, like how to make Florida water. Here's one for transmuting the energy of the patriarchy. May have to try that. Haven't done that yet. So anyways, that's what that is. Because, you know, there's a lot of information and, you know, someone might be like, oh, well, I did this and that. And you want to keep track of these things so you can try them if needed. So that's a good place to put them. A pentacle. So a pentacle, you've probably seen. It's the five-pointed star with a circle around it. A pentacle is a symbol of protection. The points of the pentacle represent the five elements of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, which are the five things needed to sustain life. then the circle surrounding them contains and protects and connects the 5 points, showing that all things are always connected. Typically, when it's drawn as one fluid line, star, circle, showing that all of these things are connected, they're all contained, and they are protected. It got a bad rap back in the 60s, 70s, 80s when the Church of Satan came on the scene and co-opted that symbol, except they turn it upside down. They use an inverted pentacle, so they flip it upside down. But as we mentioned, the satanic panic is real, and a lot of people don't even know that. They just assume pentacle bad, pentacle evil, pentacle devil. And so if someone's wearing a pentagram or not just a pentagram, but a pentacle, they're assumed that they're doing something bad. And that has been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And it has always symbolized goodness and protection. And it's only in the last generation that it was assigned a negative connotation.
That's just like the swastika.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you wouldn't dare wear one now because So the difference between a pentacle and a pentagram is the pentacle has a circle around it and the pentagram doesn't, FYI. So a sigil and a rune, we've already talked about those. We actually talked about how to make those in one of my recent videos. I'll link to that if you're interested. But a sigil and or a rune is a symbol that's used to represent a desired outcome. For example, I made a page of runes. The pagans and the Vikings, they were ones who used a lot of runes. I've made a page of different runes and their meanings. You can either make your own or you can use one that's already made, but just make sure you're choosing the true meaning of it. Make sure you get one that's from a respected source and you know what it really means or what it's supposed to mean.
Like those tattoos people get with other languages but aren't sure.
Yes.
It means courage. No, it means soup.
Right. Yeah. You don't just want to trust Frank from TikTok that's I made this sigil, it means health and wealth, where really it's it means anybody who uses a sigil will shit their pants or something. You want to make sure you know what you got.
Need that sigil.
You can make one.
That'll be in my protection jar. So
yeah. Put a bunch of X-lax in there. Yeah.
Acids.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, it's going to be X-Lax and Ambient. Good luck. Yeah, melatonin, good luck. Too.
So, I forgot to mention earlier that one of the other suggestions when making any kind of award or a protection jar or anything, one of the things you should do is set a code word, something that's not so uncommon that it would never be said, but it's not something so common you're going to hear it all the time. If you hear this word, it stands out. So make that as part of your petition or your intention that whenever my wards are hit, if you have a ward protecting you, let anybody who has evil eye towards me, talks in judgment, slanders my name, threatens me, may they shit their pants, or may all of their blessings for that day come to me. Where every time someone does this, I get $50 in my bank account. Whatever it may be, you can ask that you be alerted when your ward was hit. Somebody did talk shit about you or whatever the case may be, right? So say whenever my ward has been hit, may I hear the word blank. That's also a good, and then when you hear that word, you know it was hit and you can look around to be all right, who has a story about shit in their pants this week? Who was it? But then it'll also be a good sign to you to go refresh your wards and make a fresh batch or something. You know what I mean? So anyways, yeah. And don't tell anybody what your word is. Because I'm sure if I told you my word, you'd send me texts with it all the time to follow me.
No, that doesn't sound like me.
And then I'd be here oh my God, everybody's talking about me. My wards are getting hit all the time. So don't tell people what your ward is. That way, if you happen to hear it, it's organically. What?
You're imagining, what could the word be?
If you guess it or if you ever say it, I'm going to die. Because we are so telepathically connected. Yeah. Throw out words once in a while. I'm curious to see if you come up with
it. If I have anything, just generate or pop in there. I'll let you know.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to send it to you now, and I'm just going to see if you get it. Okay, like anytime in the next day or two, like just throw words out. Let me know.
I just got, you deserve Mexican for lunch. Right on.
That was it.
Yep, I knew it.
Got it. Okay, you're paying. Okay, next, you might hear people or see people writing comments, so mote it be, so mote it be. And that's just a fancy word. It's a historically witchy way of saying, and so it is. So shall it be, so it must be. It's really just a, I agree with this, or yes, so it is type of thing. The triple moon is a symbol you've probably seen many times. I should have had a picture here to show you. Let me pull one up real quick.
Not out of a barracks window one time. I looked up and there was three moons. One very nice of them.
So this is the triple moon. And this is a common symbol used to represent each stage of a woman's life cycle. The maiden, the mother, and the crone. And it symbolizes the divine feminine. And they're always touching the three parts. They're always touching because it shows that they are united as a whole, and it represents femininity and the life cycle of a woman. And each kind of a woman you can be the little naive maiden. You can be the mother who is nurturing and fertile and abundant. And you can be the crone who's full of wisdom and groundedness and leadership type of thing. Witches' bells. Have you ever seen bells on a door or heard doors open and you hear a little tinkle like you do in a shop or something like that? Seen someone having bells hanging from their doorknob? Anyways, witches' bells are a historic way of cleansing the space of anyone leaving or entering your home. So you have a little bell hanging on your door or from your doorknob, because just like with singing bowls, chanting, any of these things, sound cleanses space. And so the same with the bell. The thought is that anyone that comes in is getting their energy cleansed. Anyone who leaves, the energy is getting cleansed behind them. And was that all I wrote? Yeah, I think it was. Those are just the basics. There's certainly more. And if you have questions about any of them, or you have anything to add or anything you want to ask, drop it in the comments or send it to me. And I would be happy to take care of that for you, answer that. Do you have any questions, or like, have you heard any terms that you're unsure of?
Well, you defined most of the ones I was curious about.
Do you have any questions about like any rituals or spells or anything that you've seen before, or what things mean?
Not what they mean. I just, with me, I look at it, I'm like, well, that's kind of neat. I'm not going to play with it too much, because if it actually works, I don't need that in my life. I'm like, oh, I just became baneful. I don't trust me.
You don't trust you. Got it. So basically, spells are everywhere online. You can either make up your own, or you could go find them, go to TikTok, go wherever, and you could go to Google, like simple home protection spell or spell for finding love, whatever. The important thing also, when you're closing out a spell, we mentioned this earlier, you want to just say this session is complete type of thing. When you're reading off your petition, when you're reading off your spell, you want to say something like, with love to all and harm to none. And that sends the intention that, like, yes, I want this thing, but I want it high vibe, and I don't want to cause harm to anybody in the process. And that helps cover your butt and set that intention. So even Jay would be protected from himself.
I send diarrhea with the highest vibration and intention.
Oh, my goodness. So let me look through here real quick. And, you know, I like save all my videos from TikTok. Like if I see something good, I download the video to my phone. So I probably have like 1,000 videos on my phone right now. And my intention is always to go through them and like transcribe them into my book. And I get like 2 done a month. That's taking a minute. So my new book is not that filled out yet. But let me see what I have in here. So let's talk about types of water. Real quick, I forgot to mention that. Types of water, like you've probably heard people talking about moon water. On the full moon, you can set, well, you know, you can do it on the new moon too. They have different purposes. You can Google what those are, but, you know, one's more for releasing, one's more for manifesting and calling in and, you know, things like that. You can set a big jar or a glass of water out in the moonlight, like you would charge your crystals, and let the moon charge your water. And then you can use that water to drink, You can bathe with it. You can do spell work with it. But it's an energetically charged water with the energy of the moon. So you can use that for your spells too, or in protection bowls or things like that. Another common thing to use is Florida water. If you've heard of Florida water, traditionally that was, it's a brand of, it says Florida water cologne on it, but really it's just used for spell work and stuff. So the way that you can make it though yourself is you get a big jar and you cleanse the jar and all of your ingredients with smoke or smudge. And then you add 3 flowers, whatever kind you have, whatever kind you want. If you have a specific intention, you would choose the flowers or the herbs that work with that, or the flowers that work with that. If you are just like, well, I grow these three kind of flowers in my garden, I'm going to use those. Like, you want 3 flowers, 3 herbs, 3 spices, 3 citrus fruits, and 3 kinds of waters. So, for example, you could have rosebuds, lavender, and chamomile, and then you would add 3 herbs of whatever you want or have, like rosemary, mint, basil, 3 different spices such as cinnamon, cloves, star anise, 3 different fruits. Like, you could even use orange peels, you know, like 3 different things from fruits. Orange peels, limes, whatever, apple. You could then use 3 waters. Moon water could be one of those. Rose water, mint water, orange blossom water. And then you pour it into all of these things in a jar, fill it with the waters, and then you're going to add some alcohol to it, some kind of ethanol, some kind of vodka, liquor, you know, some kind of just a little spicy spice. And then you pour in those liquids until it's full, seal the jar, and shake it up a little bit, and then you just let it sit there to infuse. And, you know, as you're doing these things, never forget that I told you, as you're using any kind of ingredient, even water, tell it what you want it to do. Rose, I want you to infuse some love into this water. Lavender, bring peace to wherever this water is going to go. Tell it what you want it to do. And then as you're shaking it, infuse that intention. This water is going to be used to cleanse my home and to bless my spells and to help cleanse the energy of wherever it goes. And then let it sit there and infuse.
Infuse.
Yeah. And then after it's done, when it's sitting and it looks right, it looks good, you can either use it by itself and just like put your finger over the end of the bottle and like they do with holy water, like shake out little drops, or put it on you.
Power put it of in Florida a, man compels you.
Yeah. Oh, Florida man. Or you can put it in a spray bottle is what most people do. They put it in some kind of a little squirt bottle or a spray bottle and cleanse their space with it. Freshens
Florida
up
water's
their
in a bottle, so I'll go.
And that's all I got for right now. What are your thoughts?
I've never used my Florida water. I just bought it because I saw it. I was like, oh, cool. I wonder if this is how you get Florida man. You sip on this. You said there's some sort of alcohol in it. Now it makes sense.
Yeah. So one of the other things I was going to mention, like a simple little spell, is if you are a woman with long hair, or if you have a daughter, you can braid into her hair underneath, in the back, underneath. You just pull a little strand, a tiny little strand, and do a little braid. And as you're braiding it, silently in your head, may this braid weave protection around this person, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure if you looked for them online, there could be like official intentions that you can say, but it's about intention. Personalize it, you know, let this braid, as long as this hair is braided, may my child be protected, may my love and the love and protection of the Father, Mother, and Holy Spirit guide this child, whatever you want it to say. And then just braid it and like tuck it back under their hair. And that's just an extra layer or an extra ward of protection on them that day.
I struggle with doing large braids. That's almost impossible for me.
I struggle with French braids. I always have. And people like my daughter, Amelia, she can't do it on other people, but she can French braid her own hair like lightning fast. She just reaches up and like And then she has the most perfect little French braids. And I'm like, how do you do that? Braid my hair. She's like, I can't do it on other people. I only know how to like have the angles right on myself. My sister-in-law, Jen, she's really good at it. She does like the fancy braids and everything. And I'm like, girl, I never learned because my hair is so fine that it falls out of braids immediately. Like they never stuck in my hair. So I never wasted time doing them very often. But I wish I did. I'm really good at big braids. You're not? You would think big braids would be easier.
The subject doesn't hold still.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You got to get her in a headlock, like sit on her and lock her head between your knees. I'm just
hit her with some Florida water.
Yeah. Exactly.
It got really dark. Yeah, hit her with the smudge. She choked. And it's like a demon.
With harm to none. Sit still. Oh, my God. So just a reminder that your practice is your practice. A, no one has to know. It can be as public or private as you want it to be. No one has to know about it. B, it can look exactly as you want it to look. If you're comfortable with this but not with that, great. Make it yours. This is your practice. Just like your spiritual path, just like your spiritual journey, it is yours. Some people are interested in tarot. Some people are interested in channeling. Some people are interested in learning how to read palms. Some people are into numerology. Like your path is your path. Your practice is your practice. Go with where you feel naturally drawn. Like I mentioned earlier, my friend Kathy loves to cook. Baking is her happy place. If I had to cook and bake every day, I'd get stabby, not full of more love. Whereas just to go outside with my coffee in the morning and look at my flowers that I've grown, like, instantly fills my cup. I love it so much. If someone comes over, I'm like, let me cut you a bouquet of flowers to take home. It makes me so happy.
Same. Herbs when someone comes over, I'm like, let me cut you. Why are you here?
So you just get the first part of it. I wanted to get that doormat that was like, why is you here, ho? But I didn't know how my parents would take it, but as a joke, I have the little plaque for no solicitors. I haven't hung it up yet, but I'm going to. That's like, any solicitor will be sacrificed to the old gods, not the new. I just thought it was funny. But anyways, your practice is your practice. And make it yours. Make it personal. Do as much as you want. Do as little as you want. The main thing is to try to dispel any of the old programming left over from the church or from society that would label these things as negative. As with humanity, there are people who practice good things and there are people who practice bad things. There are people who are more in line with divine love and unity and have a more clear and, purified way of living and intentions, and there are people with darker and malicious intentions. Try to realize that nothing is all good or all bad and make the decisions for yourself to get to know these things from a fresh perspective with the truth of what they actually are instead of what was handed to you as a preconceived notion of them. And then move forward with an open heart and either leave it behind and never look at it again or try a few of the things. It never hurts to try. Open your mind a little bit. And if you have any comments, any feedback, any show ideas, I know we got a show idea this week in our email. I added it to the list. So we'll be working on that. And yes, I know that I've been putting the phone number at both the top and the bottom. I know. Thank you for everyone who reached out to tell me that.
You should put it in the four corner quarters.
Right. But thank you for everybody who's kind enough and thoughtful enough to have my back and to reach out and go, did you know you did it twice? And I'm like, yeah. Too late to change it now, but I'm just really serious about it. I really wanted it out there, I guess. But anyways, thank you for pointing that out. And we'll talk to you soon. Do you have anything to add before we go?
No, I appreciate all of you and I hope you have a great week.
Hope you have a great week. Bye, everybody.